The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder, the soul and the spirit, and the joints and the marrow. It's a critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So this morning to 1 Peter chapter 1, where we'll pick up at verses 23 through 25. The church is a classroom of Christianity. It's this environment with this academic setting for believers to assemble themselves for Bible study, for the dissemination, the assimilation of the divine viewpoint of life. And obviously this requires that we are in the proper spiritual position in order to gap this information. The believer priest is either in fellowship or out of fellowship at any given point in time in their life. How we get out of fellowship is through an act of personal sin. How we get back into fellowship is the application of 1 John 1:9, the rebound technique. Wherefore, we are predisposed spiritually, empowering the human spirit in order for us to take the doctrine man within us and gap this information undistorted by the STA. So with that in mind, as is our custom, we'll give everybody ample opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with our usual word of prayer. Father, we know that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from your mouth. We ask once again this morning that God the Holy Spirit will indeed lighten us to these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, here, wrapping up chapter 1, verses 23 through 25. Looking at the Greek here, I'm titling these verses, Regeneration is the Catalyst for Love. Catalyst being the engine, vehicle, means by which love is to be applied. All right, here in verse 23, it begins with a circumstantial participle here as causal, a perfect passive, looking at something that Peter recognizes that has already occurred in regards to these believers. For the verb to be born again, since having been born again, would be the more accurate translation, is the compound verb anagenao, A-N-A-G-E-N-N-A-O. We saw back in verse 3, this participle introduces the why or reason for the action of the main verb to love in verse 22, which it continues that thought. As Peter commands the believers to fervently love one another from the heart, since you have been born again, is the idea. And he goes on, in regards to our new birth, recognizing that believers are born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. You have the negative "ou," or "you not," from the source of, literally, the preposition "ek." Followed with our noun here, translated seed, which is spora. It is a feminine gender here, S-P-O-R-A. It emphasizes the act of sowing rather than the emphasis on the seed itself. It's metaphorical that obviously producing spiritual life is only used one time in the New Testament right here. Not of seed, not from the source of sowing, if you will, which is perishable. Perishable is your adjective. I believe feminine singular, phthartos, P-H-T-H-A-R-T-E-S, phthartos, perishable, corruptible, transitory. We saw it back in verse 28. Then you have the strong adversity of Allah, in stark contrast to but, A-L-L-A. And then we have the opposite of perishable here, imperishable. The same adjective, except you add the alpha prefix, which negates the word. Imperishable. intransitory, eternal, uncorruptible. And we saw that word in verse 4. That is, through the living and abiding word of God, that is supplied, to give us fluidity in the English language. Through, here is a preposition dia, D-I-A, that denotes agency. And then our verb for living is adjectival participle present active of zao, Z-A-O. And connective chi, followed with our next participle, again, present active participle, adjectival, meno, to live or abide, endure, dwell, M-E-N-O, all possible translations, residing, living and abiding, word of God. Word is our typical Greek word for word, logos, L-O-G-O-S. Of God is the genitive of our noun theos, T-H-E-O-S. It could be descriptive, it could be subjective genitive here, God producing the word, or simply describing the word. Verse 24, now Peter appeals to Scripture to now emphasize a point with respect to the imperishable nature of the sowing that involves our regeneration. For all flesh is like grass. You have the causal conjunction diati, D-I-O-T-I, dia with hati, compound, inasmuch as all is your adjective pas, P-A-S, flesh, or noun for flesh, nominally feminine singular, sarx, S-A-R-X, typical noun for flesh, is like grass. We have a metaphor here. You have the comparative conjunction, is like, hos, H-O-S, then our noun for grass, field grass, is Chartos, C-H-O-R-T-O-S. Used 15 times. We saw it when we did James in James 1, 10, and 11. All flesh is like grass. And, connective chi, all, pos, repeated, its glory. Its, here is autos, A-U-T-O-S, the feminine gender, makes it the antecedent, the flesh, previously described, all of the flesh's glory. Our noun for glory is doxa, D-O-X-E, or A, excuse me, doxa. Again, you had the comparative conjunction host, and then our noun for flower of grass is the noun anthos, A-N-T-H-O-S, flower, blossom. Again, we saw that in James 1, 10, 11, it's used four times. Flower of grass, obviously we're looking at wildflowers. Again, cartus, the noun for grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off. You have the Devon article in regards to the noun for grass, cartus. Withers, here is the aorist passive indicative of the verb ex rhino, rhino, E-X-E-R-A-I-N-O, left a, looks like it left a letter out in the Greek. Means cause to wither, dry out. Again, we're seeing the same words we saw in that passage in James 1:11. The grass withers or dries out. The implication is dies out. Connective chi, and the flower falls off. Again, flower with the definite article to onthos. Then our aorist active indicative of the verb to fall off, epipto. E-K-P-I-P-T-O. Verse 25, but the word of the Lord abides forever. You had the conjunction here, mild conjunction, death, adversity, de, our noun for word changes from logos here to rhema with the definite article, to rhema, H-R-E-M-A. It looks at speech or utterance, i.e. the communicated word. It emphasizes Bible doctrine verbally proclaimed. We'll see again in 2 Peter 3:2. It's used 68 times. Second Peter 3:2 gives you the good sense that you should remember the words spoken beforehand as your tongue. But the word here of the Lord. You have your noun for Lord, Kurios, K-U-R-I-O-S, genitive, masculine, singular. Abides, our verb again, to abide, resides, endures, meno, present active indicative, M-E-N-O. Keeps on abiding forever, literally into the ages. You have the preposition eis, E-I-S, plus the noun with the definite article whole, ion, A-I-O-N. And this is the word which was preached to you. Connective, or the conjunction that. This is your near demonstrative pronoun, houtos, H-O-U-T-O-S. The communicated word, again, is the context, the immediate teaching of doctrine. Is, keeps on being, present indicative of eimi, E-I-M-I, the to be verb in the Greek. And then our same noun for word with the definite article, ho, to, rhema. This is the word which was preached to you. You have the adjectival participle with the definite article, there's passive, euangelizo. E-U-A-N-G-E-L-I-Z-O. Euangelizo, to preach or proclaim to you. You have the preposition eis, literally into. You is a pronoun su. Here, the preposition functions as a simple dative grammatically, though it has theological implications. All right, rereading these three verses, doing them as a unit. For you have been born again, not of the seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off. But the Word of the Lord abides forever. And this is the Word which was proclaimed or preached to you. The analysis of verses 23 through 25. 1. Peter retains the thought of loving one another while advancing the reasons why and how. Verse 22. Again, the context, the immediate context of love that we as believers who have purified our souls in obedience to the word are to express in reciprocal action to one another. Now Peter is going to explain how and why. 2, this is a force of the causal participle, for or since you have been born again. 3, Peter draws upon the logical conclusion of their new birth as believers that he obviously recognizes them as believers, as we saw in verse 3, of being born again, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again. In verse 3, so Peter draws upon the logical conclusion of their new birth as believers, as the catalyst, the vehicle, for the dynamics of their love for one another. He's going to explain the very sense of the love that's in view. So 4, that is the kind of love of love called for is based on a new order of existence. The kind of love called for is based on a new order of existence. We are loved because we're different in a good way. And as believers, we are set apart from the world and we're unique in regards to our spiritual makeup. 5, this birth from above is the regeneration of the human spirit that brings the believer into a new spiritual dimension in life. To be born again is to be born by God. And when the believer exercises saving faith in Christ for their salvation, they become a new creature. And they acquire a new spiritual dimension that is remiss with respect to the rest of the unbelieving world. It sets us apart in a very distinct category. We now have a new familial relationship spiritually as we are children of God. So this birth from above is a regeneration of the human spirit that brings a believer into a new spiritual dimension in life. 6, we are by God's grace and power a new species. And therefore, by extension, we are empowered to function as a new species of humanity. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, based on positional truth, which occurs at the point of saving faith, if he is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away, behold, new things have come. What is this new creature? Well, it recognizes the fact that all of mankind are born into this world in a state of dichotomy, only of soul and body. And the new believer, based on the doctrine of regeneration, is born again. And in that new birth, something fantastic happens to us in regards to our own makeup of existence as we now become trichotomous in nature. We not only have a body and soul, we now have a new human spirit. And this, obviously, makes us a new species of mankind, a spiritual species, with respect to God and His plan. And the fact that He has provided us with this new nature, this new spiritual dimension, by extension, has empowered us to function appropriately according to its very nature. That nature is righteousness and set apart to the truth. So 7, this function is expressed towards others as love that marks us as Christ's disciples. John 13:34, Christ recognizes, teaches the importance of love, our subject of discussion previously, as being that which evidences or marks us as being followers of His person, His disciples. John 13:34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. The aspect of the love in view is unique, and it is reciprocal. And it can only be applied with respect to those who are Jesus' disciples, His followers, and have believed in Him. And in our association as believers in this regard, we are to emulate the very love that Christ had for us with respect to our so great salvation. So this function, this new spiritual dimension, the human spirit, His empowerment is expressed towards others as love that marks us as Christ's disciples. A regeneration of the human spirit, again, is a byproduct of God the Holy Spirit and functions in tandem with Him. John 3:6, that which is born of spirit is spirit. So God the Holy Spirit is the agency, the liaison, if you will, in the producing of our human spirit. And we know that the human spirit functions in tandem with God the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:16, the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. They operate in tandem, in harmony with one another. They both bear witness together, God the Holy Spirit and the human spirit. So 9, the new birth inducts the individual into the family of God, and our spirit then is viewed as one spirit with Christ. That is 1 Corinthians 6:17. But the one who joins himself to the Lord, faith in Christ, creating the union that is eternal and everlasting and can never be broke, is one spirit with Him. And that recognizes the likeness of the human spirit of Jesus Christ and those whom have believed in Him possess. One spirit. So the new birth inducts the individual into the family of God, is what marks us as God's children, if you will. And our spirit is viewed as one spirit with Christ. 10, the believer acquires a new spiritual dimension, not previously possessed, that is created in righteousness set apart to the truth, Ephesians 4:24. The new man, as it is so called, the new self, the new man, we are commanded to put it on. See, it's like clothing. And how you put it on is through isolation of the STA, through rebound. And to clothe yourself with this new man, which in God, in the sphere of God, in His likeness, in accordance to His divine attributes, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Set apart, holiness of the truth. So the nature of the human spirit that we receive at the point of salvation is designed by extension to empower the believer priest in orientation to the divine nature of God under the umbrellas of righteousness and the truth of Bible doctrine. So 11, with this spiritual entity, the believer in tandem with the filling of God the Holy Spirit is able to isolate the old man, the STA, and put on the new man, again, the subject, contextual subject, in its completeness in Ephesians 4, is first and foremost, you're commanded to put aside, to put off, take off the old man. That in reference to your former manner of life, verse 22, you lay aside the old self, the old man, the STA, our flesh. It's called the old man. How old is it? Well, since the origination of Adam and Eve, that's how old it is. Which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. The STA resides in the genetic code of the flesh. And it is nothing but destruction and corruption with respect to its nature. And that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that denotes a continuation of renewal of spirit. And put on the new self, again, under clothing yourself with its divine nature. And then Colossians 3:10. Verse 9, do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. How do you do that? Through salvation to begin with, and then through rebound. And have put on the new self, the new man, who is being renewed to a true knowledge. There's knowledge all over the world. But there's true knowledge. That's knowledge that comes from God. Knowledge that is not leavened by lies and falsehood, according to the image of the one who created him. So 12, when we put on the new man, so the human spirit, the Holy Spirit, function in tandem with one another. They're inseparable, if you will, in their function, while they are distinct in regards to their existence. And they're inseparable, and the mechanics of laying aside the old man is through the rebound technique. And when you rebound, you then empower the human spirit, this new spiritual dimension that you now possess as believers, to function accordingly. And you, the fact that its very nature is divine in nature, its righteousness and truth, it is going to be total, complete harmony of all that God the Holy Spirit in His filling ministry communicates to us with respect to the truth of Bible doctrine. And 12, when we put on the new man, we exude the fruit of the Spirit in love with His synonymous characteristics. The fruit of God the Holy Spirit is completely and totally compatible with the nature of the human spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit, what leaves off the list that is given to us in Galatians, part of the evidence, what it bears fruit as, and this is something that is continuous, ongoing, is love. That's your first on the list. And that's our family words, agape. Agape love. And with that, love, bearing fruit within the believer priest, comes joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So when we empower the new man through rebound, we then exude the fruit of the Spirit and love with the synonymous characteristics. 13, this in contrast to being led by the SCA, which was the immediate preceding context of Galatians 5, what the STA evidence is in one's life. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are, and he gives us a fairly long list, one of the longer lists. Immorality, that's sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, cultic activity, enmities or hostilities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissension, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I forewarn you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. When you're manifesting these STA trends and they're left undealt with, you are losing out on your SG3 potential. It's not a loss of salvation, it's loss of inheritance. Again, under the doctrine of SG3, we are destined, if we will walk in with Bible doctrine and maintain a life of pursuing God the Holy Spirit and rulership of our souls, setting ourselves up for great riches in our eternal disposition. And otherwise, when you're running under your SCA, all you're doing is losing out. And obviously, if you're in any area of reversionism in any of these sins, or a combination of any, then you lose out on your inheritance in totality in that respect. So, the human spirit, God the Holy Spirit, function in tandem with one another. in the human spirit is our own personal spiritual aspect of life that enables us to fulfill the ministry of God the Holy Spirit in regards to our Christian life. That new spiritual dimension, the new birth. And I'm very glad we went ahead and did that doctrine of regeneration early, because it helps getting here and understanding where Peter's coming from. So 14, this reality defines the agapao love Peter is referring to in verse 22. Love that is based on the standards of the human spirit, which means one needs to be in fellowship and obviously in line with Bible doctrine, in total agreement with this new nature that we possess, righteousness and truth. So 15, divine love and reciprocal action towards one another. Again, the reciprocal pronoun, verse 22. As members of God's family, looks to the spiritual attributes associated with the human spirit as the standards for application and true fellowship. And that is righteousness and truth. Righteousness and truth. So 16, the proper love believers are to have is predicated on this new spiritual nature, not brought about by the natural order of physical things. There are obviously different ways to express one's affection or love for another. But we as believers are set apart from the rest of the world as having the capability, the only ones of the world that have the capability, to express divine love, to express love that God sponsors, love that fits the norms and standards of God's righteousness and the veracity of His Word. We possess that capability and that ability. And that comes through the fact that we are born again. We have a human spirit in this respect. And obviously, Peter places a lot of emphasis in regards to this principle with respect to the love that's in view. And the human spirit is designed for the believer to not only have a passport to get into heaven, but to empower the believer spiritually to extend itself for spiritual matriculation, advance and growth, and application of Bible doctrine in their Christian lives in accordance to one's orientation and acclimation to God the Holy Spirit. And this human spirit doesn't come about by the natural order of physical things. It's not physical. It's spiritual. 17, this is the sense of the following phrase, not a seed which is perishable, but imperishable. 18, the noun seed here, which is spora in the Greek, in the feminine gender, is only used here and emphasizes the process of sowing the seed. 19, this in contrast to the more widely used neuter noun, sperma, to where we get our English term sperm, translated seed, emphasizing the seed itself. That particular noun is used 43 times in the New Testament. 20, regeneration, the doctrine of regeneration, the principle of it, plainly suggests a life concept to human procreation. And that is seen in Christ's teaching in regards to the necessity and need of being born again. And Nicodemus' immediate reaction, placing Jesus' words in a physical concept rather than in the spiritual context that Jesus so intended. Again, John, in John 1:13, first, who were not born of blood, those who are children of God. Again, you have this visual of birth, of procreation. And here we're told the things of which we're born, a new believer is born again from, and it's not anything physical. Liking it to one's perception of birth and the process of causing the birth to happen. We were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And then in his teaching to Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old?" So obviously it has a direct correlation of visual concept in regards to human procreation in and of itself. So 21, here the idea Peter is getting across is to think about how regeneration has been made possible. That's what he wants us to think about. How regeneration is made possible. The sowing process. See. 22, this as preliminary to understanding the very nature of the seed itself. To understand what its intended result is, to have a fuller understanding of that, obviously one would need to know the process of how this came about, how this came to fruition. And it's not through that which is physical, not through any human act. So 23, he then starkly contrasts the fact that it is not, quote, sowed, end quote, with that which is perishable, but imperishable. 24, the adjective perishable, thartis, may have the nuance of corruptible and or transitory or temporal. 25, this anonym, imperishable, thartos, means the exact opposite. 26, this verse highlights the two natures the believer possesses. Obviously, we're all alive, so we have been born based on physical standards, through physical actions, etc. But we also have a new birth, and that birth is not based on any of that. And this verse itself brings out the fact that the believer now possesses two natures. Just as we understand our existence as believers, being in flesh, but also we have a new spiritual nature that exists and that we possess. So 27, first the corruptible and transitory nature of the flesh, STA. That's what corruptible emphasizes, the flesh, that which is brought about through human procreation. Then 28, the incorruptible and eternal nature of the human spirit. Our new spiritual dimension that we now possess. 2 Peter 1:4. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. We possess God's nature, and we possess it so that we can obviously do battle with and overcome regards to our corruptible nature, the STA. So 29, how we have become partakers of God's divine nature is via the new man, again created in righteousness and holiness of truth, and is created by him. And what God creates is perfect. What man creates is sinful in regards to the creation process of existence. So 30, there is similarity here of thought in verse 18 of Peter in regards to the principle of redemption. Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold, but, and again we had the stark contrast of adversity all used in that verse, just like our verse, with the precious blood of Christ. So there is a parallel, a thought that Peter is advancing in this verse back to that verse. So 31, while redeems mankind, does Christ ransom the plus R via spiritual death in his work on the cross? That's the ransom, the coin, the tender that he paid to cancel out our sin debt. And that is, he died spiritually. He gave up his own human spirit during that period of 3 hours on the cross when his body was being judged for the sins of mankind. And obviously, his spirit, his human spirit, was his token of his absolute righteousness. That he earned. We don't earn ours. He earned his. He was able to receive one, as we know, because he was born in this world physically in a supernatural way through divine intervention. And he was created or born in this world with a human spirit. And he maintained a sinless state, earning the right to own that human spirit and continue to possess it as his. But when he voluntarily went to the cross to die for our sins, he had to give that human spirit up. But that was his token. Here's my righteousness, Father, on behalf of the rest of mankind. And obviously, his human spirit is eternal, as we saw in the Hebrews, his eternal spirit. So he paid with his human spirit that was incorruptible, verse 32, plus R, and eternal, so that we as believers may be born again with our own human spirit and one with him. Gave up his human spirit so that we could then possess one for ourselves through faith in his person. 33, this so we may clothe ourselves with the human spirit as believers, overruling the STA. These principles bring out that there is more to being in fellowship and overruling the STA than simply the function of God the Holy Spirit in our life. It recognizes the fact that we have our own personal nature, spiritual nature, that further facilitates this whole process. So 34, Christ's work on the cross expresses God's love for man to share with Christ in his eternal glory by providing us with our own plus R and eternal human spirit. So 35, Peter's logical deduction is that, quote, since, end quote, our human spirit was conceived in such fashion and for such purpose. It was conceived in love, for God so loved the world. This is why and how believers should employ this new spiritual dimension of love to one another. Our human spirit was conceived with true love. That always reminds me of that movie, and I want to say it up here every time, but I won't do it. And our human spirit was conceived in such fashion. It is conceived under the principles of the embodiment of the truth of Bible doctrine, sacrificing his plus R on our behalf. We possess that nature because of what he did as believers. And obviously, that is conceived in such fashion. The logical conclusion is that we are to extend this empowerment in regards to our Christian life, and we must, in order to empower it, under the very same principle, the divine nature of God, divine love. And again, Peter is explaining the difference between the love that he is dealing with and talking about that we are to have for one another over the human viewpoint aspects of love. the human spirit is how we are able to utilize our own attributes in expression of this love. That's what agapao says. It expresses the, it denotes the attributes of the one who is expressing their love to the others. Where do we come up with these attributes? Our human spirit. Our human spirit has those attributes. And it's now part of our very being. But obviously, we must empower it. And since God, the Holy Spirit, is the one who gives it birth and is the cause behind it, is the one that empowers it in order to function in regards to our Christian life. So 35 again. Peter's logical deduction is that since our human spirit was conceived in such fashion and for such purpose, this is why and how believers should employ this new spiritual dimension of love to one another. 36. The human spirit in the expression of divine love, which is realized through Christ, is the bond of citizenry for all believers now part of the kingdom of God. We are now new citizens of God's kingdom. We are His children. We are part of the royal family. Philippians 3:10. I believe it probably is, under the concept of our bond of citizenry with one another, our camaraderie, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being conformed to His death. Our harmony with respect to Jesus Christ in expression of all the love that He expressed in our own applications in this regard. 37, the conceptual idea at hand here that Peter is bringing across, the conceptual idea, the imagery of the metaphor, is that the soul, which is redeemed at salvation, is impregnated via regeneration for the purpose of nurturing its offspring, emulating this expression of divine love. That's the imagery at hand. Our soul, if you will, through divine love, through Christ's love, in expression of positive volition of salvation, is impregnated with this new seed, is sowed in this fashion, under this concept of divine love. And the very purpose is for this seed now that we possess, this new child, this new infant, this new spiritual infant, at the point of salvation, to nurture it and to cause it to grow just like you would any other in application in regards to a normal children in life. And that this very purpose of nurturing it is to emulate the expression of its nature, righteousness and truth. So the conceptual idea at hand is that the soul, which is redeemed with salvation, is impregnated via regeneration for the purpose of nurturing its offspring, emulating this expression of divine love. So 38, Peter then expresses the agency that provides the nurturing. That is, through the living and abiding Word of God. So 39, interpreters often confine Peter's teaching here to salvation phase 1. And I believe the reason why is because they just don't have a real grasp on the doctrine of regeneration and the impact of the human spirit in the Christian life and how it functions. And Peter's not going off just on phase 1. He's already dealt with their phase 1 regeneration. That was all the way back in verse 3. So 40, however, while that is assumed, phase 2, quote, love, end quote, contextually remains the focus. Can't deny that. That's the context. That's the subject that he's dealing with. So 41, Peter has come full circle now reintegrating the doctrine of the importance of Bible doctrine explicitly to finalize his thoughts for this section. I told you that was what was on his mind back in verse 13. Now, explicitly, he's telling you, yeah, that's what's on my mind. The doctrine of the importance of Bible doctrine as it relates to all this. So, 42, it is the Word of God that draws together the soul with the human spirit to bring about their unified state. Now, looking at the role that Bible doctrine takes in regards to this regenerating process. 43, Bible doctrine serves here in analogy as the male suitor to the soul. I note that our Greek word for soul, psuche, is also a feminine gender that coincides with the feminine gender for sowing. So Bible doctrine here in the analogy. Peter is saying, it's the male suitor. It acts as the male suitor. And that is as it seeks to attract the soul of mankind. So 44, when positive volition of the soul responds, the perfect match is made for regeneration to occur, for the new birth then to happen. The right soul, which is again seen in the passive feminine form, the right woman, is connected with her right man. That right man is Bible doctrine. So 45, Bible doctrine serves as the authoritative counterpart to the soul, to the positive volition that a soul possesses, both for the inception of regeneration, as the soul chooses to believe in Christ in Gospel Phase 1, as well as providing the continued nurturing of this existence. Gospel Phase 1, Titus 3:5. He saved us not on the basis of works which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. Washing of regeneration looks at the cleansing effect of Bible doctrine in this process. 1 John 5:1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. And then, those are both phase one emphasis. Then phase two, Colossians 3:10. And have put on the new self, which is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. That looks obviously as the extension of the regenerated spiritual man that we now possess. And then again, Ephesians 4:23 and 24. So 46, that these Asian Christians have already regenerated. That they are already regenerated. We saw that verse 3. You've been born again, causes to be born again. Recognition of their phase 1 adjustment. It is continued phase 2 development of the human spirit that is in view. So 47, just as the father with children makes provision, so does the Word of God provide for this new spiritual entity. In other words, the Word of God, as the authority of the relationship with the soul, is ultimately takes on the responsibility as its provider. And I put it both caps and small letters, provider, obviously recognizing it's through the person of Jesus Christ. And then recognizing the Word of God's Word, Bible doctrine, otherwise, that we are to assimilate in order to facilitate the authority that is designed to be over our souls and to nurture the human spirit. So 48, the human spirit is called doctrine man. That's what we call it. They refer to it in prep school. At least I assume they do. At 49, it is our personal spiritual vessel designed to contain Bible doctrine and foster spiritual growth in our lives. 50, the whole of our spiritual development is dependent upon choosing the truth of Bible doctrine as a standard upon which our human spirit operates. Only Bible doctrine can do this. So 51, otherwise we disregard our child, conceived in divine love, and instead nurture the old man. So the whole concept is, are you going to nurture your human spirit life, or are you going to just simply nurture the old man? Feed it. Feed your flesh. Well, we've been born again. We're new creatures. And it's for a reason. That's so that we can feed this new spiritual man, this doctrine man that we now possess. So 52, Bible doctrine is the only food with which the human spirit can grow up and prosper.